lives right now, but among those having sex and not and trying not to get pregnant, 19% use no contraception at all, and 24% use it inconsistently. So the intentions don't match the behavior. And among those who say it's very important to avoid pregnancy right now, 34% say that it's likely that they'll have unprotected sex in the near future. So with this as the situation, in 2008, the national campaign started to look closely about why people weren't getting their birth control right so we could reduce the number of unplanned pregnancies. What were the reasons beyond cost and access for the failure? So we started our research by looking at what was out there at the time, and this is what we found. And the state of sexual health and behavior change is not very pretty, as you can see. And what does any of this have to do with sex? The answer is not very much at all. And why do the people with vaginitis look so happy? That part I really can't get. The problem is that sex isn't science. But we keep attacking the issue with squeaky, clean, desexualized logic. Sex is emotional, it's fun, it's carnal, it's intense, it's funny. Yet none of those things were reflected in the tone of those things I just showed. And our target audience, millennials, were ignoring it all. So we quickly realized we needed to create design solutions that matched the subject matter. And we needed to adapt a tone that wouldn't be so easy to dismiss. And we realized our product wasn't really birth control, but it was a better lifestyle and yes, better sex with birth control. So we employed human-centered design to get the right tone. And for those of you who aren't familiar, human-centered design is pretty much what it sounds like. It's design process that puts human desires at the center, especially latent desires, those things that are hard for us to say and articulate when we're in a big focus group. And to step in the lives of young women who are our target, we did intense in-home interviews, and we came away with a number of insights. The first one won't surprise you, that education comes in the wrong time, at the wrong context, if it happens at all in the U.S. Think about when you had sex education. Many of us got it when we were 12 or 13. That's like learning to drive when you're 10 and getting the keys to the car when you're 17. In the heat of the moment, all bets are off. When it comes to getting it on, our brains turn off. And that's the fun part, and we didn't want to mess with that because that's what we all crave, to lose ourselves to passion. But it's not so good when it comes to protecting yourself. And we heard the story now and again, about how alcohol played an important role and helping people lose themselves to passion. And what could we do in our program to design for those moments? And we knew it had to be a system. So we knew we couldn't just design messaging to raise awareness or give people better tools to take their birth control. We had to create a system or a series of interventions that would support people every step of the way. One last insight was that men were largely absent from the conversation when we talked to the 50, 60 women we talked to at the beginning of our research process. Most methods are made for women, and most women report that their partners are not much a part of the decision making. So we decided to focus on women and nudge them towards bringing their partners into the conversation. Attempting to create one intervention, we thought, to serve two audiences that were very different, might have produced a result that worked for neither group. Women, we found, were already using birth control, but were unaware of the full array of methods. Ill-prepared to deal with the side effects and in need of motivation to find the method that best fit their body and stick with it. Many men, on the other hand, weren't active participants in the decision-making about birth control and often didn't even want to engage in any conversation on the topic. You know, it wasn't their thing. So we went looking for theoretical models for our design, and we looked to the stages of change model. And the stages of change really is a really instructive model for us because men for the most part, were two different stages of change. And here again, led us to believe we couldn't create one intervention for both. We looked at the health belief model, behavioral economics, inspired by people like Dan Ariely and BJ Fogg with his systematic approach to change. And all of that gave birth to Bedsider, no pun intended. And we've tried to create a program that will address the real issues and hurdles that women face at every stage and give them tools they can stick with to actually stick with their plans not to get pregnant before they're ready. Part of it's education for sure, but it's education in a voice that makes sense and comes from the point of view of the women we're talking to. So the goals of Bedsider are to take the fear and mystery out of birth control, to help women find the method that's right for them, to help them understand how to use it consistently and effectively, and to gradually encourage people to consider more effective methods of birth control over time. And here's what the front page of Bedsider looks like. And at the bottom, you can see the face of a woman who's ready to tell you about her method. So in this way, you can select a method of birth control by identifying with a real person, not a medical object. But speaking of objects, we've got those too. This is our most popular page on Bedsider. It's what we call the Method Explorer. And what's a surprise to people here is that there are so many. Again, the range of options. This is what we call our Frisky Friday. Did I skip something? No, I didn't. Our Frisky Friday newsletter. And this goes out weekly to about 40 to 50,000 people now. And what these emails, importantly, aren't always about birth control. This one's about sharing the cost of birth control. Again, for women trying to get them to nudge their partners into that conversation. And these emails are about lifestyle, and they're prompts to take your birth control, and they're motivating and in a way that we hope that will prompt women to ask themselves, am I using the right form of birth control for myself right now? Fact or fiction is another area of the site where we try to design for both men and women, or for women to involve men. This particular animation, and they're all myth debunkers. This one's about the myth that men cannot buy lady products like emergency contraception. So we try to empower people, men and women here, to know that if you are turned away from a pharmacist, you have a right to that emergency contraception if you're a guy. And a lot of guys do get turned away. And a lot of those videos, by the way, now we package them up and we give them to people offline. So they're showing in clinic settings. They're even showing on Navy ships now where there's no internet access for men and women to make choices about their birth control and to stay on the method they're using. So here's the question I always get. Well, does it work? Well, I'm happy to report now that the answer is a resounding yes. We can call Bedsider an evidence-based program. And with that evidence, we can now have confidence that we can go and address other audiences, like Spanish speakers, like men. We recently finished a year-long randomized controlled trial and saw a decrease in the amount of unprotected sex in the Bedsider group, a significant decrease, and even a decrease in the amount of unplanned pregnancies over that 1 year period. 2% in the Bedsider intervention group versus 6% in the control group, which is pretty much aligned with national norms. And hopefully Bedsider will make it easier to talk about birth control and maybe even fun, because we're doing it in a way that uses real language to connect to real people. Now, another statistic I should report is that already today, if I were to look at our statistics for the year, 30% of the visitation to the website and our other work is by men. And that's important because, well, who are these men, actually? They're the ones that are already taking a part, an active part in the decisions regarding birth control and are at a stage of change that Bedsider serves. The preponderances of images of women on Bedsider is apparently not a barrier to men who want to learn more about birth control, because those guys get it, that most of the methods are for the women in their lives, not for themselves, although we have methods there, like the condom that they can use, and that they're more in control of. But you might want to know about the other 70%. Well, we believe those are the guys who are at a different stage of change and thus need other kinds of interventions. We realize that to reach the men who aren't ready for Bedsider's main offerings and who aren't at the right stage of behavior change, we needed to do something else. And that something else ended up being humor. Laughing your way to learning, especially about difficult or taboo topics, is a common educational method. In fact, research suggests that humor produces psychological and physiological benefits that help people learn. So enter the Guy's Guide. It's a video tour of birth control that uses humor as a way to capture and keep the attention of men. It's designed as a guide for guys and the women who love them. Using humor, we try to get men from one stage of behavior change to another. We prime men for the conversations in which they may have an opportunity to participate in the future with their partners and with their providers. So let's watch an example.
When you hear the word birth control, you probably think of the pill. And when you think of the pill, you probably think about sex. And when you think about sex, you probably think where and how can I get me some of this sex? First off, how much do you really even know about this magic pill that lets you have sex without making babies? Now, there are a ton of different kinds of birth control pills out there, but they all pretty much kind of work in the same way. By releasing synthetic hormones, man-made versions of hormones that a woman's body already makes naturally. Science, right? The hormones in the pill send a signal to the woman's ovaries, telling them not to release any eggs, while simultaneously thickening the mucus down there. So if there were an egg, the sperm can't get through the woman's cervix to look for it. Hey, A for effort, sperm. In order for all this to work, your lady needs to take the pill around the same time, every single day. If she does... Then, you know, you're out shopping for strollers and breast pumps. And this ain't a pop-and-go situation either. The pill can take up to 7 days to start working. So if you just started taking it, try to cool your jets until it kicks in. And remember, the pill doesn't do jack to protect you from STDs. So until those lab coat wizards figure that one out, don't go tossing away your condom drawer just yet. And hey, taking the pill every day can be kind of a pain. So until they come up with a pill for us, offering to help her with the cost or remembering to take it could be very beneficial to your non-parental status.
So I'm happy to report that the Guy's Guide is reaching its target. In the last year, there have been more than 300,000 views to the Guy's Guide videos, and more than half are by men. The success of the Guy's Guide and the positive reviews in men's outlets have convinced us that we're on the right track. We'll continue to use humor, especially on channels that reach men, through video. The goal is to move more people from one stage of behavior change, as I've said, to another, where they, man or woman, could become the perfect candidate for Bedsider.